The gospel comes from Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 36. Jesus' words, "But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Good morning. I'm Pastor Charlie Bunk, and my wife Barb and I live in Waugh Bay, South Dakota, and we're retired from the active ministry, but we're still pretty active. We're interim ministers at American Lutheran Webster and Our Saviors in Waugh Bay. At the same time, I've just picked up this job as the coordinator for the Companion Synod Relationships of South Dakota Synod ELCA with two churches overseas, Nicaragua, which I'm going to talk about today, and Cameroon. I'm a substitute teacher at Waugh Bay Public Schools and at Enemy Swim Day School in South Dakota, so that keeps me real. Okay, and I also have my granddaughter Aubrey here. I'm watching over her today, too. Let's talk about Nicaragua. The Hope Candle is here, and it figures into the title of the church. Iglesia Luterana Fe e Esperanza. Fe means faith, and esperanza means hope. So Lutheran Church of Faith and Hope. Okay, so do I hit this? No, which one do I hit? Advance here? There we go. I'm going to begin with a literary image. We, in the English language, poetry doesn't translate well language to language. It's hard to catch the nuances. So it's so easy to follow the British poets and the American ones, hard to follow the French ones. Jules Supervier was a famous French poet of the first half of the 20th century. He was born in Uruguay, but traveled between France and Uruguay, wrote most of his poetry when he was a professor in France. And so he's known as a French poet. He has a poetry in which he describes an imaginary dialogue of the ass and the ox, the donkey and the cow who were at the manger. And the donkey was saying how he carried Mary all the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But she was a very light load, he said, because of all the future that was within her. And to me, that is a fine expression for hope. I mean, that, I'm going to steal from that. The people in Waugh Bay will hear that image next Sunday. And I'll probably find somewhere else to refer to it before Christmas comes around. But it says something about how hope lightens our loads and how hope keeps us going when things are bleak. And what a fine thing for a church to take the name Hope. The hope is usually based on something that we've seen or heard,
So there's a little bit of reality there, but most of it is imagination. We love these Advent calendars where you open a window, but it's so mechanical. It's so much, we know that by the time we get to the last one, we're going to see the baby in the manger. And it's so easy to just do the same things year by year. Whereas hope helps us to grab something, either from our dreams or from our aspirations, from our imaginative side, and to live with that. You take from Hebrews 11, hope, that faith is the substance of things, the assurance of things not seen. And that's what this church describes our Companion Synod in Nicaragua. It's a small church. It's a young church, 26 years old. And so let's just ask about this congregation, Spirit of Joy. How many years do you count? Is it around 20 some?
First worship service was 16 years ago.
16. All right. So then it was the first Sunday in Advent. So this is your real happy birthday here. Yeah. And so in other words, they only outdate you as a whole church. They only outdate you by 10 years. And they were born out of conflict that was taking place in El Salvador. And there was one El Salvadorian who was asked to shepherd and look after the spiritual and physical needs of all these refugees who were coming into Nicaragua. And during that time, the people in Nicaragua saw the way the Lutherans interacted with mission, and they said, can't we form our own church? And so, and they chose as bishop Victoria, who is still their bishop and leader. And so she embodies that relationship and the welcoming of strangers, which is a good Christmas theme and Advent theme. So all of it fits into today. Okay, that's our partner in mission. Iglesia Luterana Fei e Esperanza. Let's say that together. Iglesia Luterana Fei e Esperanza. Yeah. And there's our bishop, Bishop David Zelmer, and he was at the 25th celebration, and he's ordaining 3 or 4 or 5 ministers who have ranks for their ministers. They every time you join, you enter into a vocation to become a spiritual leader, as well as whatever. Most of these people also have a calling, a lay calling, you could say, either in carpentry or farming or in some other work, social work that they do, and then they add on the title of minister. And then they have their top title is, I love this title, Reverendo, which means ordained pastor. And they have 8 of them. And then it steps on down to them, deacons, deaconesses, and other titles of their ministers. And yet, so he was ordaining some for who had achieved their next level of pastorate at that time. Nicaragua is a small country, and it's really approachable. I mean, we got on the plane in Minneapolis by 11 o'clock, and by 7 or 8 in the evening, we were already in Managua after changing planes twice, and then arriving. And so the whole country, what do we say? It's about 2/3 the size of South Dakota and 8 times the population. It's the second lowest income in North and South America. The other thing I learned while I was there, I was asking the people, I said, okay, how do you count yourselves? Are you North American, Central American, South American? Well, funny, they mentioned that, they said to me. When we went to school, we never distinguished. We learned that there were only five continents, and America was all one continent. And I said, gee, isn't that funny, you know, how our perceptions change. Okay. The mission priorities, 2016, we made a covenant with them, and we oversee our side of the covenant, and we try to encourage travel between us, visits, and also we try to encourage prayers for each other. And among the new items of prayer, we're going to try to be more specific in our prayer partners. And so you're in the what's called Crossroads Conference of the South Dakota Synod around Sioux Falls, and we've given you Managua and Messiah, the southern part of the mission field. So you'll be praying for people by their names, the leaders of that group, and they will receive your names and be praying for you at the same time. Among the projects or the things for which we've said we're going to help them with, and today we're going to receive the last of the gifts for the upgrading the facilities at Cedro Galan. Cedro Galan is actually on the outskirts of Managua. It's in a neighborhood of Managua, and it's a farm of 8 hectares in size. And it has these beautiful acacia trees just as you go in, and they planted coffee beans just below them, but really it gives you kind of a feeling of peace in the midst of a crowded city, you could say. And I'll show you slides in just a few minutes of some of the upgrading the facilities going on there. We also agreed to support the annual youth retreat. So far, we've received $7,000 this year, and we still owe ourselves $3,000 before the end of the year to fully support the January youth retreat. And I asked, are you worried about that money? And he said, no, it's always come through, so we're just holding our youth retreat. We're planning, and we will let the facility know when we rent that the last payment will be coming to them. So that's what's taking place. Then the third thing, we support the missionary. And let's say his name, Sergio Rios Carrillo. And he is a young man who was drawn by the music and was walking by the church and heard that when he was a young person. And he went in, and his parents were a Spanish teacher and a person in the health ministry of the state of Nicaragua. They lived in a neighborhood where there was a fair amount of crime and drugs and everything that could go bad in a neighborhood. So they encouraged him to go to that church, you know, and he loved it, and it made a life's work for him. And he's, I'm guessing his age would be around 29 or 30 now. And he has taken some theological instruction. He's helped out with some agricultural development work in the north. And he would like to make a vocation within his church. And we have named him as our South Dakota missionary now. So he's ready to help be a liaison with us. We're going to bring him up here this summer to visit all around South Dakota. And we also are encouraging groups from here to go down and visit in Nicaragua. All right, second thing. So that's the third. D is support for their schools and the women's training project at Messiah. And that, I did not get a chance to visit there. I don't know. We'll be talking about that later. Also, we're expecting... We have gotten some camp counselors to come up and be with Lutheran Outdoors, and we're hoping that we're going to have 2 young people to come and visit sometime this next year. I got involved with this last month. Once a year, we're asking a pastor from South Dakota to go preach at their Reformation worship service and then teach their ministers and their church workers on a correspondence-type course in Bible study for the next 2 days. So we did that. The estimated cost of our full involvement, in other words, to make all of our goals, it's $80,000 per year. Now, this upgrading of facilities, the $10,000 check we're receiving today, actually is in addition to that. It's a special gift to help fund the upgrading of the facilities at Cedro Galan. None of this is in our South Dakota Synod budget. All of it comes through gifts, through congregations that take a special offering, through congregations that put our companion synods into their budgets each year and are sent extra beside your what we would call synod dues. You know, they don't like that word dues, but you know, that's really what they are. And so that's how we fund our work that is our part of our promise, our covenant that we make with our partner church. Okay, so here is a picture at Cedro Galan, and that's Angel, who works with the Green Project, explaining some of the plantings that they've done. One of the best things that I've seen that they've done are the fruit trees. They've done quite a few of the very small oranges, the kind that you like to get in stores and give the kids instead of candy, you know, that kind of fruit tree. And then you can see that the corn is, they have a drip irrigation system. They collect the water that comes in the rainy season off of their rooftops, and they keep it in a big cistern, and then they drip it into the fields where it irrigates the corn. And so they get a really good crop every year. There's Pastor Ilo. He's an agriculture engineer. At the same time, he's a pastor. And he's the husband of Bishop Victoria Gomez. So Cortez, I think, is her, you know. So that's Ilo is explaining things to me, I think. Yeah. And here are some of the renovations that are going on right now. There are 10 people hired full-time for the full renovation time. And what they're doing is they're making this retreat facility into a really good facility at the standards of what you'd call a hostel, a youth hostel or a hostel in Europe, where you have a dormitory with bathrooms, you know, apart in one area, and they have a men's bathroom and a women's bathroom with, and then a really great kitchen for their retreat facility. They'll be able to house about 30 or 35 people at any one time at this. They're hoping to bring in people and teach them small courses in agricultural development, other items, and retreats for the church and for leaders in their own church. And so it will be like a home away from home for a lot of the people. They love colorful crosses. That's an example of one that was done. And there they are all gathered in their biggest cathedral church in Managua. And they're the people who are come for this spirituality Bible, sports, and life lessons. And it's going to take place from January 8th to the 15th. Now, starting next year, our hope in South Dakota is be able to send 5 or 6 youth who have taken Spanish in school and are a little conversant in language, have them join these people for their youth congress that they have. Okay. We We did help about 5 or 6 years ago in putting a nice church roof on a center in Sumoto. There are two areas right near the Honduras border, near El Salvador, where a lot of these refugees had come. When peace came back to El Salvador, many of them went back to their ancestral homelands. Many of them stayed. And then the church began working in rural communities in development, helping with wells, helping with fencing, with other, with ovens, with efficient ways to make an oven and bake their goods and their tortillas, things like that. So we help with the church roof, and we help with a school, which I have not had a chance to visit. And I have it written on there. It's Pocho Cuape is the name of the elementary school. And that school is being run with state money, but we have built the building for them and help with upgrades their facilities. And so you could say that, and we do teach catechism in there. So it's basically a Lutheran school there in that country. Next one. Okay. The two methods that they're asking for help, you know, if you're saying, well, how can I help with this? I'm saying support for the missionary Sergio and mission interpreter for your congregation are this way. The upgrade to the facilities, your $10,000 gifts completes $50,000, which was raised during this year, 2016, in order to help with the upgrading of the facilities. We think that it will be finished, you know, you know the Spanish phrase, mañana. Well, it's not going to be mañana. It'll be quite a ways after tomorrow. But sometime this spring, we hope it'll come to a final, and we'll be hearing about that. And the Advent, rejoice, rejoice, believers. That's your cue to the next one. So I'm going to finish with another section on hope. So does anybody remember a 1998 film called Hope Floats? You remember that? You know, I don't remember much about it. Sandra Bullock is shamed when her husband admits infidelity on a talk show. She goes back to a dysfunctional home of her youth in Texas, and surprise, surprise, it's Hollywood. She gets a new romance, you know. But the plot sounds trite, but it's the title that intrigues me. Hope does indeed bring an airy lightness to the heaviness of grief and sadness. Hope springs from the depths of despair. Hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. The poet Alexander Pope, in his treatise on man or humankind, in 1733, says this: hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, but always to be blessed. The soul, uneasy and confined to home, rests and expatriates in a life to come. Amen.